You're listening to the DeCesare Group Podcast. Welcome back. I'm your host, Jim DeCesare, and I'm glad you're here. My guest today is the brains behind an innovative and sustainable way to create packaging from one of the U.S.'s most abundant crops, corn. Miles Leach is the founder and CEO of Campbell, located in nearby Auburn, Kentucky. It's very likely you've eaten out of one of these disposable food containers. Miles is going to tell us the origin story of how he turned agricultural waste into something that is revolutionizing the packaging industry in a way that honors our planet. Here's my conversation with Campbell founder and CEO, Miles Leach. Miles, welcome to the DeCesare Group Podcast. How are you?
Thank you, Jim. Doing well. Appreciate you having me.
Man, this is an exciting product you got going on. So tell us a little bit about Campbell, the product, and the story of how it came to be.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's not really a short story, and we've been working on it for a long time. My background's in packaging, and around the mid-2010s, I was looking at, what's our place going to be in sustainable packaging, and how are we going to contribute to this as the world progresses and moves forward? We looked around, I researched probably 40 plus different types of materials. Where's their excess? Where are there these unused materials that we could upcycle and use for packaging? Mm-hmm. We looked at, mushrooms, seaweed, and ended up, where there are larger amounts of the unused material, like agricultural byproducts.
Yeah.
Hemp stalks was definitely a focus in the early days, and corn stalks came right in there as well.
So this product is actually made with corn, but I wanted to follow up. You talked about hemp. I mean, hemp has been used, the byproduct of hemp has been used for centuries for products. But what about corn? Does that have a long history of the byproduct being used for other things besides, just eating it?
Yeah, in fact, it doesn't really. And that was one of the things that we found and attracted us to this in our journey, because we're basically have been on a journey of looking for challenges and trying to find solutions to those challenges. And so we found that, about less than 10% of corn stalks are actually being used.
Wow.
And it seemed like it struck us as a potential source of fiber for paper.
Yeah. So how is this product, and we're going to talk about the name in a few minutes, but how is it revolutionizing the packaging industry? What makes it different?
Well, it's different in that it's annually renewable. There are almost 100 million acres of corn grown in the U.S. every year.
100 million.
That's right. And wow. And that equates to what we call about 200 million tons of sustainable corn stover. It actually equals about 400 million tons of corn stover. And I put in sustainable in there because there's a pretty well-developed formula for how much we need to leave on the field for soil health and how much we're able to take as kind of the excess.
I got you. So, I'm assuming, I shouldn't assume, but are you getting your product, your raw materials locally, or is it coming from everywhere?
Yeah. So, our goal is to source within a 30-mile radius of our facility in Auburn, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And, so far we have done that, and it's been successful. And some of the farmers in the area are starting to listen and understand it's new and it's different, and hesitation is completely understood. And there are some things that we need to work through, as we develop relationships with farmers and that. That's all possible and just takes some time and understanding.
Yeah. People have probably used a bowl, either your bowl or a similar product like this in the past, but it's kind of got that tan color to it. And are all these types of products made with corn, or are there other, I know you mentioned hemp, but there are other ways to make them besides with corn product?
Yeah, definitely. You can make them with a large variety of fibers. Mm-hmm. A common one is wood, hardwood and softwood.
Yeah.
That's a common one, but, you could also use sugarcane bagasse. Wheat straw is possible. So there are other ways to make it, other fibers. We are a speckled brown color. Mm-hmm. It's natural. It's It's not for everybody. You may eating off, plates, you may be looking for something that's white, but what we don't like about white is all the bleach that goes in there.
Yeah.
To make it that color. And do you really need to alter the color and make it beautiful to to use it one time.
Well, you know, you brought a few of the products with you. And, I mean, they're very attractive, and they're, you know, got a nice deep bowl where you can get a big bowl of cereal or oatmeal or something in there. So it's pretty cool. You know, the name Campbell, K-A-N-B-O-L, for those listening, how did you come up with that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I usually just answer this by saying that it's a family name on my mother's side.
Okay.
But, you know, since I'm sitting here in Bowling Green and some of that heritage, you know, is from Bowling Green, I may actually delve into this a little bit.
Sure.
So John Campbell came over from Virginia in about 1820, and he got married in 1824, and he bought a farm here in Bowling Green, about 60 acres. Uh-huh. And this is Campbell, spelled like kind of like a Campbell soup, you know.
Gotcha.
That with a C and the M. And so John Campbell bought a farm about 60 acres right here in town where Cheddar's is today.
Wow.
And his granddaughter was my mother's great-grandmother.
Okay.
So there's a lineage there. I call it just, you know, a heritage. So it's, yeah, a heritage, kind of a tribute to John Campbell. And Campbell, and Campbell Lane here in Bowling Green is named after that, because the Campbell family farm was right there.
Yeah, and, makes sense.
Yeah, and so we just kind of masked that a little bit. You know, put a K on it. We're in Kentucky. The B-O-L is kind of a little bit more towards a bowl,
right,
if you will. So just a couple little things to kind of adjust that. But it's really just a, you know, a tribute to the.
But it,
to
but
John
it sounds
Campbell.
Like Campbell, but it's Campbell.
That's right.
With an N.
Correct.
That's neat. And, of course, it's a good-looking logo. It's Campbell Corn Containers. I've got your website in the show notes so people can go and check it out and see what you do there. Talk about your customer base. I mean, who are your customers?
Sure. So right now we're selling into locations at University of Kentucky and University of Louisville. So there's a salad chain at University of Kentucky that's using our bowls, and also another location on campus that serves salads, and so they're using our bowls for that. University of Louisville has, you know, four locations now. They started with two in the spring, and they're up to four now this fall using our bowls. A lot of burrito bowls, you know, salad bowls. Mm-hmm. There's a company that serves, a restaurant that serves pasta, that has indicated our bowl has performed better than the same type of bowl that they were using. So it's a very positive. You know, it's quick serve restaurants, really. You know, who's going to use it one time and just, yeah, need it for that? So quick serve restaurants that, you know, either use it for dine-in or takeaway or both.
Yeah, that's awesome. So talk about the health component of this and why it is so much better for our food than the microplastics that you know, we've been using forever.
Yeah, it's a tricky subject for sure. And I, you know, just to kind of be on par with you know, what the World Health Organization says, you know, basically the statement is that it's insufficiently clear that microplastics cause harm to your health. But what the research says is that having small ultrafine particles, you know, in your bloodstream can cause harm. And what's, I think, And the way I, you know, sort of depict that in layman's terms is, you know, what level of contamination kind of starts to be a problem. And I know this from, you know, from our own industrial system. You know, if we're running water through the pipes and it has some particles in it, you know, at some point, at some percentage level, that starts to become an issue.
Yeah.
And so I think that's kind of the same, you know, in our bloodstream. Does some small particles, you know, is it okay? And then kind of at what point does that really start to become an issue? And that's not clear yet. And it's really more just precautionary. I saw a statistic recently that if plastic stays on its current trajectory, it's going to grow fourfold by 2025. And so you have to wonder, you know, is that a fourfold growth in microplastics? And if those are getting into our bloodstream, is, you know, then is there something to start worrying about if, as it increases, you know, that's kind of the.
Yeah, and your product, of course, is all natural, so it's automatically biodegradable, I'm assuming.
That's right. Yeah, it's compostable.
Yeah.
And so compostable is kind of a subset of biodegradable, mm-hmm, which has to break down in a tighter window than just biodegradable. But yes, It's all natural. It comes from the corn fiber, the leftover stalks in the field, and we take them and essentially just cook them and press them into shape and kind of bake them.
Well, that's a great question. So, you literally take this product and you cook it. Talk about the process.
Sure. I mean, we bale it, like hay. So if you see it in the field, it's going to look like a square bale of hay, and then we bring that in. So the first process is essentially an industrial cooking process. It's
you make like a soup out of it or a stew.
Yeah, it's your stovetop, times 1,000.
Yeah.
But
just put it in boiling water.
We call it a lightweight cooking process.
Yeah.
It's not wildly intense, but it's kind of a big soup. It kind of goes in the crock pot, for a period of time, and it all breaks down. And basically, kind of from a technical perspective, what holds the corn stalk together is lignin, and lignin's sort of the glue that holds all the fibers together. And so when we cook it, kind of like when you cook or you steam some vegetables or you cook some carrots and boil them.
Yeah.
You're trying to get those things that hold it all together to soften up and to extract. So we're trying to take out the glues. Uh-huh. We just cook it, take out the glue, and try to free up the fibers so that we can then shape them into something else.
That's awesome. So tell us about your operation. You're located in Auburn. How big's your facility?
So we're using about 7,000 square feet right now.
Okay.
We're in a building that has 42,000 square feet. So we have some room to expand as needed, and we have plans to make that expansion and are in the process of that. We started in 2020, mm-hmm. and we
That's
were in
a great time to start a business.
Yeah.
in the middle of a pandemic.
right. Yeah, it was a tough time. But we were in deep research at that time. So, we were in labs and, all across North America, really doing research, deep research and different kind of labs and trying to understand, how do you process corn stalks? What's the best way to do it? How would you do this with hemp? How would you do it with wheat? How does 100 years of academia told us how to do it with wood? And, so you got to look at that too. These are important principles, but, so we were in R&D pretty seriously for 2 years and then put in a little pilot unit in Auburn in 2022.
Okay.
So we're doing this in the lab at 5-gallon scale. Great. Can this scale up? And so we went up to 1,000-gallon tank in 2022, and that was, our first step towards scale. And we launched our first official production line last April.
Okay.
So about four full years in R&D, and then we started selling products last April. And we have a lean team, total of 6 employees, including myself. That's a mix between full-time and contract. We're in gear right now, working towards an expansion to that's one shift. So we're working towards an expansion to add more production lines and go to 3 shifts a day and 24/7. So
awesome. What's your background? How did you get into packaging, food packaging? You kind of mentioned you were in that space before you started Campbell. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. So I started my first business in 2007, mm-hmm. in Hong Kong. I was we have a family business that was in Auburn for generations that made leather shoelaces.
Okay.
And so in
Auburn leather.
That's it. right. My first job was with Auburn leather. Actually my very first job, when I was 16, I worked for the tannery in Franklin.
Okay.
Old Kentucky Leathers. And I had probably the worst job in the whole tannery.
Of course. So
that's,
you did.
That's where I started. But getting into packaging is kind of came about by being overseas, seeing deficiencies in certain packaging and understanding that there were better ways to do it and could we find better ways to do it. That was around the time that e-commerce was really picking up, mm-hmm. And so, the Apple unboxing experience was something that was there in kind of the late 2000s. And we started to figure out how to have that same unboxing experience with a direct consumer package. You know, if you get the box in the mail, and how can you still have some experience, when you get that package? So yeah, it was really, I got into packaging more of finding an area where I thought there needed to be a better solution, or there should be better solutions. And that's where we felt like there's an opportunity. You know, there's something going on here, a need that's not being met. And that's sort of been, that's sort of the entrepreneur's philosophy, is, looking for these, what's missing in the market? How can we do this better? What's not working?
So it's been an interesting journey for you, because you come from working in a leather facility to where you're making, sustainable products now, which, there's a big difference there. The huge difference, actually, between leather products and sustainable products.
Exactly. Very good point. And, interesting that you bring that up. Yeah, I mean, our background's been in leather, since 1863. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's when the leather facility started. We were making bridles, reins, tie downs, things to equip horse and buggies going west.
Sure.
And they
things
stopped.
That are needed.
Things that were needed, know, and every generation that changed, and every generation sort of had to take on something new, like, cars came about.
Yeah.
And so, what happens to all that Western tech that we're making for horses when people start driving cars, and then saddlebags came in. My grandfather started to look into leather shoelaces. Mm-hmm. So he evolved the company, kind of every generation's been tasked to take this to a new level, or to evolve.
Right.
And I see, even though we're not in leather anymore, I see, a lot of similarities in the way that my aunt was going about her business, with leather, and my grandfather, the way he was going about his business. And those kind of fundamentals, I think, transfer, and I learned some of those things.
Sure.
And I think, I consider Campbell the next evolution. And our generation's different. And so how do we take things and change them and put our spin on it? And Campbell is that for me.
That's pretty cool. Let's talk a little bit about your collaborations with other farms and your distribution. I know when you and I were talking about this a few weeks ago, you had mentioned that Walnut Grove is one of your collaborating partners. Of course, we've had the Halcombe brothers on here talking about their operation. So talk about your relationship with farmers and your distribution process and even your sales process, because people aren't going to come to you. You got to go out and sell this product.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. On the farm side, we're really lucky to be in near proximity to Walnut Grove and, farming operation that is, large scale, but also innovative. And they're looking at new and different things, not stuck in their ways. And,
there's a lot of similarities between your two operations. You're thinking, you're doing outside the box stuff.
Yeah, I think they complement, what we do very well in the sense that, they really are very much in tune with the farms that, that they operate and the product that they're making, and, kind of where they are really good at that farm level. I think we're really good at the industry level thing. Mm-hmm. So once that corn stover gets in, it hits our building, we know what we're doing with it. We're highly calibrated in how we transform and we move that material through the building. I would also say that, we're trying to keep, our goal is to keep a 30-mile radius. And, if you have, if you're farming corn, if corn's part of your three crop rotation and you have some interest to bale some of the stover, like I said, we bale about half of it, and we can go into a lot more detail about how we, run that formula to make sure you've got cover left.
Yeah.
I would say, I would be interested to talk, we're always open to talking to new farmers and trying to educate, whether you end up doing it or not, that's fine. But, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Happy to. The more people we can educate to know what's going on, if you're driving down the road and you start seeing corn stalks being baled, then you'll know what's going on.
Yeah.
So just, I think the education is great, you know, no matter what it turns into.
Well, you know, and of course, in agriculture, it's some, you know, there are good times and bad times, but I think, you know, most farmers are looking for diversity anymore instead of just being in the crop business. How can they, you know, do that outside the box type of, you know, like at Cheney's, they just don't have milk anymore. They make ice cream now, you know, so doing some different things helps diversify, and it's not keeping y'all tied into one thing. Do you all bale it, or do they bale it for you? How's that work out?
Yeah, we contract that part.
Okay.
We study the methodologies, and we know how we want to, you know, control the, what we call the take rate,
mm-hmm.
Which is how much we're taking off per acre. So, we currently don't have a baler and, you know, don't have a tractor to pull it, but, yeah, we contract those things as much as we can.
So talk about your sales and distribution process. How are you out there knocking on doors, or do you have someone doing it for you, or is it, you know, a team effort?
We're a lean machine. And so that comes back to me,
yeah.
and business development. So yeah, I'm knocking on doors. I'm trying to talk to, you know, founders of QSRs. You know, let's say you have a taco chain and you serve, you know, burrito bowls, and you have 5, 10, 15 locations. I'm probably looking for you, and I want to sit down and have a conversation and show you the bowls that we make. And, you know, as we start to build, there are more chains. You know, you've probably seen some of the bigger ones out there.
Mm-hmm.
They're here in Bowling Green. You know, you've probably eaten Molded Fiber, you know, many times. And so, you know, that's where we want to go, but we've got to start, you know, with things that we can digest and what we can produce.
Sure.
So, you know, we're looking for more kind of local, you know, QSR.
So if anybody wants to, you know, take part in your product, you can go to their website and find your contact information and purchase them, right?
I will say that if you go on the website and you email info@campbellinc.com, that will come across my desk.
Okay.
So
that's your email. That's what you're saying, right?
That will come to me.
All right. Fantastic. All right. Well, I think some congratulations are in order too, because you recently received an Alltech grant. Tell us a little bit about that and what it's all about.
Yeah. Really fascinating group that, you know, an organization that they've put together, the Bluegrass AgTech Development Corporation.
Mm-hmm.
The founding members just incredibly visionary, you know, the way that they want to, you know, to boost and help startups that are, you know, combining agriculture and technology, which, you know, they feel, and I think a lot of us believe is the future, is, you know, incorporating more technology with agriculture to be able to elevate, you know, what we can do.
Yeah.
So yeah, their vision is great. We're really lucky and grateful. I'm grateful we got turned on to that. Tim Hughes, local to the area,
yeah,
you know, pointed me in that direction, and very grateful for him looking out for us. Yeah, being part of that grant and just the event last week was really worth all the application process in itself.
Yeah. And for those that aren't familiar, and I may mess this up, Alltech is based in Lexington, Kentucky. I think it's the Pierce family, maybe. I may be off there, but they
Pierce Lyons.
Pierce Lyons, that's it. I believe he's passed away, but anyhow, his son and family have carried on the tradition, and they kind of are in. They're the entrepreneurs of the agribusiness world, I think is the best way to say that. Without looking them up on the website real quick.
I think that's pretty accurate. You know, what I took away was really that they have looked at and addressed a lot of problems. You know, and I think a lot of pretty complex problems come to them,
mm-hmm.
and they have the expertise to sit down and look at it. And if it's a problem that's kind of big enough and widespread enough, they'll put a team on it and looks like they figure out a solution and get products in the market, and have done that successfully for a number of years.
Yeah, they've been a great asset to Kentucky agriculture, and not just here in Kentucky. I mean, really all over the world. I personally visited their distillery in Ireland, so you know they're pretty diverse as well. But that's awesome, and congratulations on that grant. I know that'll help you, you know, keep doing the things you need to do and grow and succeed. Is there anything that I left out you'd like to tell our listeners?
No, I would just say, you know, thanks for listening. You know, you've got a great podcast here.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, I appreciate you highlighting what we do. And, you know, I mean, maybe the next time you're in a restaurant, just take another look at what you got, what kind of container you got. And,
yeah,
you know, and if you feel like that's something that, that you want it to be made out of corn fiber, you know, shoot us a note, let us know. We love to hear the more people that are out there kind of taking note of what they eat from and become interested, you know, I think the more our product can, you know, can elevate and grow in the market too.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, Miles, thanks for being on the DeCesare Group podcast.
Anytime, Jim. Thanks a lot.
Thanks again to Miles Leach, founder and CEO of Campbell, for joining us this week on the DeCesare Group podcast. And thank you for checking us out. Hey, if you like what you hear, please share with a friend. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Leave us a review and share your feedback with us. You can also follow the DeCesare Group across all of our social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, X, and YouTube. And you can even subscribe to our weekly newsletter, Silky Economic Development and Business News, by going to our website, thedecesaregroup.com. The DeCesare Group podcast is produced by the DeCesare Group, a public relations and consulting firm based in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Our engineer is the amazing Justin DeCesare, with content contributions from Brooke Mattingly. The DeCesare Group podcast is researched by Amy DeCesare. I'm Jim DeCesare, inviting you to join us again next time for the DeCesare Group podcast.